This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. Miller Lite, great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. And as always, please celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's hour two on this Tuesday. Everybody's here, including Fritzy. Back-to-back days for Fritzy. He is on quite a streak here. Congratulations, Todd.
Thanks, I appreciate that.
Yeah, 877-3DP Show.
The Iron Man.
Email address, dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle at DP Show. Good morning if you're watching on Peacock. And if you haven't downloaded the app, please do so. You can watch this show and see how it looks behind the scenes, how the sausage is made. Poll question from hour one, Seton, before we get to hour two.
Yeah, hour one's not going well for Shohei, gotta admit.
Okay.
Shohei Ohtani is a victim or not telling all he knows, with an S. Right now it's at 86% not telling all he knows. Hour two, we're going to go with currently having a worse betting scandal, Major League Baseball or the NBA?
Well, the NBA is involving a player who is adjusting, you know, numbers during a game. Shohei Ohtani is involved in something, whether he's a victim or not, he's involved in something.
Right, but what you have is some random dude nobody's ever even really heard of fixing games versus the face of the sport, the biggest name, the number one guy.
Yeah, but you have somebody playing in a game, and is he betting on himself? He's telling other people. So this is actually something that's happened twice to Jonte Porter of the Toronto Raptors. Shohei, unless there's a paper trail that says that he was betting on baseball, betting on other sports, I guess. But, okay, imagine this. The commissioners of the three big sports wake up today. You got the NFL, Roger Goodell's at the owners' meetings, and he's worried about the hip drop tackle. That's the biggest problem that he's dealing with. Adam Silver is dealing with a player in Toronto who is betting the under on his stats and taking himself out of a game.
Oh, dear.
And somebody bet $20,000 on that. And then you have Major League Baseball with Rob Manfred. He's dealing with the face of his sport involved in gambling. And you're just opening up the season. So it's great to be Roger Goodell, you know, because he's in Orlando and having fun. They just passed the new kickoff rule. So we will have, you know, when somebody says, oh, we're going to have kickoffs. I go, no, we've had kickoffs. Now we're going to have returns. That's what we need. And football is trying to ensure that we still have a kickoff that means something. And we're not going to have onside kicks, it looks like. But you're going to have returns. So they just passed that. Albert Breer, the Monday morning quarterback, will join us coming up a little bit later on. And the hip drop tackle, 15 players missed time this past year due to those tackles. And once again, we're asking the officials to do even more. And I think they're going to do eye in the sky. I think they're going to have the overhead judge. Just if you're going to review roughing the passer, you're just asking these officials to do more. And we already question if they're good enough, competent enough. Can they keep up with all the action? Now we're just adding more. Hey, we need you to somehow judge if that's a hip drop tackle in the moment. Or, are we going to review that roughing the passer call? But keep adding. And I think if they add an overhead judge, another camera angle in there, because everything it can be seen crystal clear. These cameras, these TVs, you can see all of this. And I think the more help we can give them in the context of the game itself and not have, sometimes replay will take forever. Certain sports, like you'll just go, oh, you gotta be kidding me. And then we're watching it and you go, no, it's obviously, that's a foul. And then they'll take forever and ever, and then they'll eventually say, and that's a foul. See, that's the problem I have. It used to be called instant replay. It's not. It's called replay. If they would get back to the instant, then I'd feel a whole lot better about this. So is going on now. Otani at his press conference. I don't know if the story quiets down. It feels like it's going to until somebody has some kind of information. I don't know if the interpreter for Otani has a sit-down with anybody. More on the illegal bookmaker. Does he know anything? And the biggest question that I have is, well, there's a couple of them, but the one that keeps coming to mind is, if you wired this money, if Shohei's interpreter wired this money, and there were two checks for $500,000, two wire transfers for $500,000, how did the other money get wired? Because he lost upwards of $4.5 million. We know about $1 million. What about the $3.5 million? Is there a paper trail for that? Does that go back to Shohei Ohtani's computer or his account? The interpreter, I'm assuming, had that information to be able to do this. Ohtani didn't address that yesterday. I don't think he said that he had all my information to log into my computer, even though it sounded like he was using his computer to be able to make these transactions. The fact that a bank would not notice this, I was kind of, surprised at that. But Ohtani said that, he did not know until after game one in South Korea what was going on, because there is the video where he's standing next to his interpreter during that game. Everything seemed fine. Here is Ohtani, through his interpreter, talking about Ipe Mizuhara using his account.
And finally, when we went back to the hotel and talked one-to-one, that was when I was when I found out that he had a massive debt. And it was revealed to me during that meeting that Ipe admitted that he was sending money using my account to the bookmaker.
Okay. Was it for every one of these transactions here? And how did he have access to your computer? And what about the other $3.5 million? I'd be curious about that. Yes, Todd?
I'm no technology expert, but is there a way, especially when you're making that kind of money and it's hard to trust everyone, to have something on your phone or some kind of alert, whether it's wires or credit cards, or whatever, where when it hits a certain amount of money, you can set up something where it lets you know in case there's some kind of fraudulent payment going on that something's up. Like a lot of people have that. If there's a certain amount of money, then you check your credit card.
Do you have
that? I do, actually. My wife, I can't buy her a surprise gift because anything over $100, she gets a flag on her phone.
Oh, no.
Which sucks, and I told her to kind of take that off, but that's actually, I'm sharing something very true here. I bought her a piece of jewelry, and she's like, why are you buying me jewelry? I already have that, or whatever. I'm like, really? This is supposed to be for your birthday or Mother's Day or something?
Well, and that's just for $100. This would have been good to know 2 years ago if you're Shohei Ohtani.
I guess, but I would hope going forward there's something where he gets an alert. We were talking about millions of dollars.
I don't think anybody's going to have access. I think he's learned his lesson. I'd say so. Clint in Kentucky. Hi, Clint. What's on your mind?
Hey, DP.
Hey, bud.
6'2", too sexy. Just checking in. So I have banking experience. I won't go into much detail because I don't really want to reveal myself. But So here's the thing. So Shohei, being a celebrity or high profile, it's a known thing, right? That he would be have access to a private banker or private sector, meaning that he would have a banker that would bring either funds directly to him, wire transfer documents to him, or also if he has a known associate that he's approved previously, that known associate can step into a bank and take some funds out, do a wire transfer, or anything, kind of like a power of attorney, anything that he's going to give access to, that representative can do. So this is, you know, you can really kind of believe Shohei in this way, because that is a possible thing that I've seen daily happen.
All right. Well, thank you, Clint. Yeah, the personal assistant, hey, I don't want to deal with those bills, those transactions, I'll take care of that for you type thing, I'm guessing. Celebrity Bracket Challenge. You can follow our Bracket Challenge powered by NetSuite live now at foxsportsradio.com. Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. No word yet from Commissioner Silver on the betting scandal with the Toronto Raptors, Jontay Porter. But the fact that they flagged it, I mean, that's the most important thing. Calvin Ridley was suspended for a year by Roger Goodell. And even if you're just betting, you know, fantasy football, you know, it doesn't matter. You can't gamble. And here is a player. I mean, Jontay Porter is a nobody. And here he is betting. And it's that he's going to have the under with his prop bets, his numbers. And that's the biggest bet of the night. That's going to jump out like, wait a minute here, something's up. And how you wouldn't think that, where you go, hey, you know what? Why don't we do $5,000? Everybody gets greedy. No, no, no. Let's go for it. Nobody's going to know this. Yeah. Nobody's going to be following the Raptors in the over-under for my numbers. Yeah, they do. They have to. It's their business. Jim in South Carolina. Hi, Jim. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Dan. How are you today?
Great, Jim.
Okay, well, I forgot to do this last week. 5'8 and a portly 225.
Portly.
Okay. Do you see a scenario where maybe this the NFL rules, that they just go to that 4th-and-15 onside play like the Spring League had last year? And also, how are they supposed to tackle from behind now?
I have no idea anymore. You know, I don't know if players set out to do the hip drop tackle. Like they go, oh, finally got him where I want him. You know, I get the horse collar. I get it. But the hip drop is, let's say I'm, I don't know, 5'9", 200 pounds, and I'm trying to tackle somebody 6'5", 250. Okay. How can I get some leverage here? How can I bring this guy down? I can't hit him there. I can't hit him there. Now I can't even do this. It feels like you're going to be guiding players out of bounds. Like you're going to wrap them up and, you know, hopefully they blow the whistle so you're not tackling somebody. But just imagine if you're a defensive player and it happens so quickly, all the action in front of you, and then you're going to be tackling somebody and you are going to think in the moment, oh, is this a hip drop tackle? It's like the defensive player goes in to sack a quarterback. And then as he goes, he's like, oh, I can't land on him. Like, that's not fair to the defense. And this will just bring up another style of tackling that the NFL is going to have to deal with. So you're going to fill a hole here, a void here, fix a problem here. It'll probably create another problem somewhere. And I think, you know, it's tough enough to officiate a game and really difficult to play the game from the standpoint of, you don't think in the moment other than my job is to get that guy and tackle that guy, not how do I tackle that guy after I get him? It's just not fair. How do I not get fined? But that's what's happening here. Ray in Scottsdale. Hey, Ray, what's on your mind?
Good morning. I have 2 points about the gambling issue on the Shohei Ohtani thing. If a lot of people don't understand this, but both political figures and major sports figures are always tagged by banks to the FBI behind the scenes. That's how Governor Pataki got caught. The FBI notified the bank notified the FBI that there was a consistent level of withdrawals. The only reason the bank wouldn't have notified anybody is if the bank was a Japanese bank and then they were taking care of their own, and that is absolutely plausible. Hmm. But on the gambling issue, there's another component that's a lot more serious, and I appreciate the fact that there's subterfuge with players gambling and fixing games, but I was walking through the grocery store during a Cardinals game and made a comment about, I hope the Cardinals win tonight, and the cashier said, it depends on the refs, let them win. With that, the bad boy turns to me and says, the name of the referee who's playing, who's going to referee the game. And it occurred to me, the NFL has become the casino, and they then alter the rules during the middle of a game. You have hundreds of millions of dollars in play, and a referee makes a bad call, and forget about winning or losing from a fan. They take the bad call, they put it on the Jumbotron, they market it to the whole country. You just lost $10,000 on a bad call. I'm very mad about this. I'm afraid you're going to see components of violence come in because they're controlling the game. It was one thing when the gambling was not in control of the NFL itself, but since they're the casino, they make the rules, they have the referees. And there's another axiom that I hear on your show all the time that said, every single down, there's a chance to call a play. Now you're talking about affecting people's prop bets and money. And I think the fact of the gambling and money is a smaller part of the issue. They've got an audience of gamblers now that aren't going to take this kindly. These referees, I hate to say this, are really going to be in a safety problem if this isn't controlled.
Yeah, so I think that's fair, Ray. I've said that before, that, you know, we're putting these officials out there. If they make a call, imagine if you had money when the Rams played the Saints and you had that terrible missed call. Pass interference or the non-call, helmet to helmet, and they missed it. That's a playoff game. And you missed it. The amount of money. How would you feel? And I think that's where we underestimate. If a gambler is a degenerate gambler and you're really in trouble, and then something like that happens, then what happens to, you know, that official? And you can't say, well, they don't know where they live. They know who these people are. You could find out where they live. That's where you got to be, you know, we have to be aware of that. You can't go, no, nothing's going to happen. You can't say that because of the amount of money that's at stake. There's a lot, there's so many layers to this. That I know it's become just part of the vernacular. We talk gambling every day. Everybody does. Everybody, you know, even during Ohtani's press conference, what was running underneath it on ESPN? It had gambling bets. NBA lines. I mean, it's here. If you didn't have a bet on the Super Bowl, what's wrong with you? Everybody did. I mean, that's sort of the approach that it's now normal. It was never normal. You always were hiding it. And now it feels like if you're not gambling, there's something wrong with you. And that's what's scary here. Because your kids are growing up in this. Your grandkids, they're growing up in this where it's available on your phone. Hey, my friends are doing it. I parents of an 11-year-old was telling me the story because he listens to the show and he knows I used to gamble. And he said, you know, my 11-year-old, because other friends are gambling, he wants to gamble. And I go, you got to lock down the phone. I mean, that's a no-go. It's a non-starter. Can't be like, well, you know, it's kind of harmless. It's like, you know, 20. I said, no, can't. Once you get to be a grown-up, if you want to, but no, not an 11-year-old. But this is where we are. It's just common. Normal. You're abnormal if you're not gambling, which is kind of bizarre to say. All right, we'll take a break. He is the voice of March Madness. He's Ian Eagle. He'll join us. We'll get some more phone calls. We'll check in with the Dodgers. Mike Tomlin talks about Russell Wilson. And Woody Johnson says he feels sorry for Zach Wilson. No relation. And Albert Breer will join us from the owners' meetings on the new kickoff rule, the hip drop tackle, and why he thinks the first four picks of the NFL draft are probably going to be quarterbacks. Take a break. Back after this.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, gang, this is Jay Glazer, host of Unbreakable, a mental wealth podcast. And every week, we will have on leaders from sports, entertainment, like Sean McVay, Lindsey Vonn, Michael Phelps, David Spade, Guy Fieri, and also those who can help us in between the ears. Anyone from a therapist to someone like Ed Milet or John Gordon. We've all been through some sort of adversity. To get to the top, we've all used different tools. Listen to Unbreakable with Jay Glazer and Mental Wealth Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Whoa, okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
The voice of March Madness. Well, he's the voice of many things. CBS, TNT, TBS, Yes Network, Brooklyn Nets, college basketball, NFL, NBA. I think he had the under with Jontay Porter's numbers with the Toronto Raptors as well. He does it all. He's Ian Eagle, or Ian Eagle, who joins us on the program. Ian, great to talk to you again.
I answer to either. Sadly, Dan, Ian Eagle is a fantastic name. I'm cool with it.
Do you get recognized for your voice? How often?
Yeah, occasionally. Yeah. Pizza places, ordering a grandma slice.
Mm.
I might get a head whip around and say, are you Marv Albert? No, no. It's somebody else. Yes!
Was he an idol?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was the model for me because I thought he did such a tremendous job of calling the game. He was serious about the game, but he could razz his analysts. He could have a sarcastic line that would just go into the flow of the play-by-play. And then as a viewer or a listener, you'd question, wait, was he serious or was that a joke? I just loved that style and his versatility. I just enjoyed the fact that you could pop him into any situation and it was still going to be him. So growing up, him, Al Michaels, Costas, Brent, Vern Lundquist, those are the guys that I really admired and took to in the way in which they did their job.
How often do you think about the ending or how you'll call an ending? Like, let's say there's 60 seconds to go. Is there anything? I'll give you, for instance, Marvin works on the show, and Marvin yes. has the call, how he would call the Duquesne win.
Duquesne can do. They pull off the big time upset.
Yeah. Yeah, can yeah. do. Yeah.
Can do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me get a pen. I'm writing these down just in case.
Hold on. We got one for Drake as well.
Drake?
Yeah.
Started from the bottom. Now we're here. Drake pulls off the big time upset in March Madness.
No, that's perfect.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even make an adjustment.
Yeah.
So though I would take those word for word. Yes.
And if Kevin Harlan ever sits out, we have his replacement.
The Bucks are on a 9-3 run, and Pittsburgh, and Philadelphia wants to talk about it.
You screwed it up.
I didn't know you were coming to me. This is the NBA on TNT.
The pressure to perform in the moment.
Yeah.
Zach Edey is a god.
I think he is, actually. That's accurate.
So how often have you found yourself saying, God, I got to come up with something. Nance does this all the time. Do I come up with something?
I have not thought about it for 1 second, to be perfectly honest, because I have no idea who's going to be in the Final Four. And it's a legitimate question. I tend to think that I'm going to go pretty simple and be accurate and have enthusiasm. But I don't know. Until I'm in the moment, I truly don't know. If something strikes me, I'm now more willing to go with it than I was early in my career. I remember my third year doing the tournament, it was 2000. We had Seton Hall and Temple in the second round. And Ty Shine was putting on a show. He was filling in for Shaheen Holloway, who got injured in the first round matchup against Oregon. And the whole time in the second half, I'm thinking, oh, man, this is tailor-made. This is one shining moment. Shine, shine, shine.
All right.
And I'm toying with it. I'm going through the mental gymnastics of it. And then we get right down to the wire, and I didn't say it. I thought about, again, I was young. It was my third year doing it. I thought about the reaction. That was cheesy. What's that dude doing? And I got caught up in steps along the way that I should never have been concerned with. And from that moment on, truly, because it bothered me so much in the moment, I decided, hey, look, if you feel something, go with it. Trust your instincts. And odds are, if it's genuine, if it's coming from a real place, then the audience will buy it.
Well, when I was at SportsCenter, you know, we all got caught up in our catchphrases when we're calling highlights. So, like, that was more important than the highlight after a while.
And then, fuego.
And then we kind of had to regroup and go, you know, our job is still to call the action, you know, do the highlights. And then if you want to sprinkle something in. But it became this pandemic where everybody had to have a catchphrase. And then you'd have people walking around the building at ESPN.
Yeah.
They'd be Cowhide Joyride. What do you think of that for a home run? I'm going, that's terrible. That's terrible.
It's true. And Craig Kilborn, mutual friend of ours, leaned into that heavily, as we know.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure anybody saw a connection between Jumanji, the Robin Williams film, and sports. Yet he went with it and it did have a following of some sort. But you're right. If you get too crazed by the wordplay, and if it's something that you're workshopping all the time, odds are it's not going to deliver in the moment. If something really does strike me in the moment, I tend to go with it because I feel like if it's something that I find interesting, there's a pretty good chance that somebody else out there watching the games is going to find it interesting too.
He's the voice of March Madness. By the way, how does that sound now that you take over for Jim Nance? What was your reaction when you heard that Jim was going to stop doing March Madness?
It had been a few years in conversation, so there wasn't one phone call that was the end all. It was a bit of a process, and I think they were working with Jim to figure out his timing and what made the most sense. Houston last year for him, I know on a personal level, really resonated to have this full circle moment and do it in Houston, where he attended college, where his career began. So once it was determined that that would be the last one for him, that's when it started to become a bit more real for me. It's funny, Dan, because I've done so many games. It's not like this is a new role in terms of what my responsibilities are. I've done the tournament for 26 years, and I do probably about 100 basketball games a year between college, NBA, local, national. So I just remind myself, do what you do. You're not going to change what you do, how you approach it, how you prepare, the energy that you bring to the event. Of course, the stage is a bit larger and it's vast, and I'll be aware of it. I'll be aware of my surroundings, but I would be really surprised if I change the way that I do the game just because it's the Final Four. If anything, I might end up doing a little bit less because you have really nice pictures and sound. And I think some of the ambient noise is okay. So if I pull back a little bit, that might be more of a conscious decision than to do more than I would normally do.
We're talking to Ian Eagle. He is main play-by-play voice for March Madness. So when you went in to the head of CBS and you said it's either me or him, wait, yeah. Is that how it played out?
Yeah, very Jay Leno, Conan O'Brien. Yeah. Just whatever happened in their situation pretty much happened here. Yeah, these could be wonky situations, as we know, uncomfortable, awkward. This one has not been, and I think a lot of it has to do with how many years I've been there and the fact that I've worked literally with everybody that works on this tournament in some form. Being with different crews through the years, this just isn't a out of left field move. But it does mean something in that the trust that CBS, Turner, the NCAA, I don't take that lightly. That's a real thing. When you get that kind of decision, you realize that it's not a snap decision. It was a lot of parties involved to make this happen.
How often do you have the fan behind you who's yelling stuff? And
at me or at the court?
Well, maybe at the court, or it affects you.
I put the headset on and not a whole lot affects me. I am capable of going to another place. If you take the headset off and you listen to the sounds of the people around you, I could see getting swept away in the passion and in some of the untoward attitude that we see. But I just lock in. I put that headset on and I'm just laser focused on what I have to do.
Did you fill out a bracket?
No, have not filled out a bracket since 1998. The first year I did the NCAA tournament, I was still working a lot at WFAN radio and took a lot of pride in the office pool and the bracket. So that first year, I fly out to Sacramento to do the games. I have Maryland, I have Arizona, I have Illinois State, I have Utah State, I have Nicholls State, and I fill out my bracket. And the bottom line, the screen for our net return has the scores scrolling, and I find myself looking at the scores as I'm calling the game and getting angry at the fact that I'm getting these games wrong and legitimately angry. And I start questioning myself, but dude, you realize you're doing the NCAA tournament and you're worried that you blew it in the East region and that Chris Mad Dog Russo is going to give you guff on Monday. Guff. Hey, I am terrible pick for you. So that was it. That was the last time I filled out a bracket.
All right. Well, don't screw it up. We're all counting on you. And then you go from this, then you're hosting the Masters as well. Is that?
Yes.
You're doing that too?
Yeah. Butler Cabin. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Hey, one point can I make? Jake Gyllenhaal, you mentioned him yesterday, Roadhouse.
Yeah.
You have a lot of IMDb credits.
Yeah.
I was actually in Southpaw as reporter number two.
Okay.
With Jake.
Okay.
With Jake, with Rachel McAdams, with 50 Cent. Antoine Fuqua was the director.
Yeah.
And we come out, we do a rehearsal, we do the lines on the page. Fuqua comes out and says, hey, is that what you would say in a press conference? I said, no. He goes, all right, you just do it your way. And what you see in the film, that's my way.
Now
that's
that,
reporter number two way.
That role was originally for Jim Nance. And once again, you have done a number on Jim Nance's career.
The fact that you have that minutia at your fingertips and knew it blows me away.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, we're going to be listening now.
I know.
Now
I know.
We're really going to be listening.
Yes. Yes. My hope is when we do this next year, you'll have some calls for me, some calls that are tailored just for me.
Todd, so once again, would you give Ian Eagle just a little more of Kevin Harlan?
The Jazz are on a 13-4 run. Philadelphia doesn't know what to do. They'll talk things over. This is the NBA on TNT.
Is Kevin in the studio?
No, Todd. That's Todd. Yeah, he's that good. Oh. Yeah, incredible.
It's freaking me out.
Thank you, Ian.
See you, Dan.
That's Ian Eagle. CBS, TNT, and TBS, and Yes Network. And, oh, my gosh. Guy's busy. All right. Yeah, you screwed up with the Pittsburgh.
I know. And there's no Pittsburgh.
There is not.
I cut tongue-tied, and I'm like, Pittsburgh, Seattle? What am I doing?
Maybe ABA, the Pittsburgh.
And then I said, Zach Edey's a god. This is the NBA on TNT.
I have no idea what that is.
That doesn't make sense either, because I think that's a college player.
When we come back, more on the gambling situation with the Toronto Raptors. Back after this.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
NBA fans, listen up. You got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is really simple. Select a player who will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for big cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using the promo code DPSHOW and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with the promo code DPSHOW. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
David Purdom, ESPN sports betting industry reporter, and noticed that there was something amiss with the Toronto Raptors, Jontae Porter. And all of a sudden, you know, he's under investigation And David joins us on the program. Summarize the NBA story that you and Woj broke.
Yeah, Jontay Porter, kind of a backup center for the Toronto Raptors, is being investigated by the NBA after irregularities in the betting market involving his player props. Player props are over-under on points scored, rebounds, assists, etc. There were two instances that sportsbooks flagged. Most recently, one just last Thursday against the Kings. Sportsbooks detected some unusual interest on betting on Porter, a low-profile guy that doesn't usually attract a lot of betting interest. All of a sudden, a lot of money was coming in on the unders in his game. He played for roughly 5 to 7 minutes, took himself out, was ruled out with flu-like symptoms. So investigation continues.
Okay. How do you guys get tipped off that there's something going on, that, you know, the red flag?
Sourcing, just like anything. Been work covering this industry for 15 years. I know everybody from bookmakers to the integrity monitors to league officials. So just like any other story, you catch a tip, you get wind from the sources that you've developed.
What did the NBA say when you gave them this story?
Brian Windhorst, my colleagues, and Woj got in there, and they tried to get with them. It was pretty quiet from the league for quite a while, which was a little bit unusual for those two high-profile reporters. Eventually, they get back to us and just said that they're looking into it.
What's the most you can bet on a prop bet like this?
Great question, because it varies from book to book and from customer to customer. But typically, if you or I are to sign up and try to bet a prop, maybe we get $1,000 down, maybe $2,000. To get much more than that, you're going to have to be a VIP customer with special privileges. And that's what really stood out about this one, because customers came in at one sportsbook trying to bet $10,000 and $20,000 on the unders on Jontay Porter prop bets.
And do we know, like, Jontay Porter's connection to this? Is he betting on himself? Did he tell friends, hey, I'm going to take myself out of the game, load up on this? How do you think this plays out?
Definitely plausible scenarios. We do not have any information to verify any of that at this time.
Yeah, that's the curious part of this, is you never think that you're being noticed. And, there's so much money that's gambling, being gambled here. Who's going to notice prop bets on Jontay Porter? And the problem is, we are going to notice, because it is Jontay Porter.
You know, 100%.
You know, Calvin Ridley probably thought, nobody's going to care about this. Everybody's gambling. What's the NBA's rules on gambling?
So players, league personnel are allowed to wager on other sports, just not the NBA. They need to do it with a regulated operator. It can't be using an offshore sports book or an unlicensed regulator, and just can't be anywhere close to betting on any kind of NBA event.
And also, the precedent of this, if you suspend him for a year or indefinitely or for a lifetime, if somebody else who is a noted player gets involved, then you have to treat them the same way. So I think it's going to be tricky. The commissioner might be in a tight spot here. Since you cover gambling, if you could ask Shohei Ohtani or his interpreter one question about that situation, what would it be?
That is a good question. Obviously, he's answered about whether he bet on baseball. Said no on that. I'm certainly interested in how he was able to rack up as many losses as we can. We understood was $4.5 million in gambling losses. You have to be wagering probably close to $80 million, $100 million during that time to suffer those kind of losses, because you don't lose every bet, right? I mean, it's impossible to lose every bet. It's impossible to win every bet. So you win some, you lose some. To get that down that much, you're betting significantly amount and a lot of volume. So I would just want more details on exactly his betting habits.
I was wondering about this with the illegal bookie. How much latitude does he give him?
Sure.
Right. And don't you at some point want to know, can somebody cover these bets? Or the fact that he is covering these bets with Ohtani's money, then he doesn't care about that?
Yeah. I mean, if you are booking someone and you know that they have a high profile person behind them, you certainly would probably give them a little more leeway. And I've talked to a couple of offshore sports books that deal in credit. And that's what they kind of said, you know, hey, this guy was sending us $500,000, $500,000 here. He was losing. He was paying. He was losing. We're going to give him a little bit more rope than we normally would if David Purdom signed up and, you know, only making his little bit amount of money. His credit limit wouldn't be nearly as much.
But do you think this illegal bookie knew that Shohei was taking care of his
yes, friend? I certainly think. Taken care of. He certainly knew his relationship to Ohtani. He certainly knew that he was the interpreter or translator. Whether he knew that the money was coming for Ohtani, you know, the name was on the wire transfers that our ESPN reporters looked at. Whether he thought that it was Ohtani specifically paying for him, I'm not aware of that. But he certainly knew the relationship.
What are the red flags that we should be aware of when it comes to gambling? I tell my audience I used to gamble. I don't gamble anymore, but everybody thinks they can win. Can you win, David?
It's very, very, very difficult, especially in a long term. There's a ceiling, and if you get good enough to win, you start are able to beat the books on a consistent basis. Well, guess what happens then? Now, instead of being able to bet a couple hundred dollars, you're limited to only betting $20. So there's a really low ceiling on betting. I would not recommend anybody try to be a professional bettor. If you want to do it for entertainment, you want to bet some disposable income, very small amounts, I think that is fine. Trying to beat the books is just a very, very difficult and challenging lifestyle.
I know you're busy. Thanks for joining us, David.
You got it, Dan. Thanks for having me.
David Purdom, ESPN sports betting industry reporter, and the story is Jontay Porter and his over-unders there. At one point, I got on a hot run with NFL games, and my bookie would change the betting lines when I called in because a friend of mine would bet through the same bookie. He got a different line than I did. So my bookie would change it because I'd gotten his attention. And he admitted that to me later when I stopped gambling. And he said, you had me scared a little bit. And certainly the last bet that I placed that I lost, that was $3,300. He was nervous about that because I had made $6,000 and I was going for the kill. Last bet I ever placed. All right, final hour coming up. More on the Dodgers situation. And Albert Breer, Monday morning quarterback, will join us from the NFL owners' meetings. Talk about the NFL kickoff plan has just been passed, and he'll give us an update on that. Also, a lot of talk about the first four picks in the draft being quarterbacks, depending on the order, but Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, and yes, J.J. McCarthy. Also, the hip drop tackle. How are they going to enforce that? So a few things to talk to him about. And what's next in the Shohei Ohtani situation? We'll find out right after this.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From the versatile EQB to the sublime EQS sedan, Mercedes-Benz makes electric extraordinary. The vehicle's all electric. The feeling is all Mercedes. The choice is yours. Learn more. MBUSA.com/EQ.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.